paying too much or have questions and don't know where to start, give Powell Insurance Group a call today. No strings attached. 864-888-2275.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at CantyFoundationSC.com.
As you prepare for Saturday's game, call the Corner Butcher and choose from their tailgate menu for your friends and family. Steaks, brats, chicken, and select seafood. They have what you need. 654-2333. The Corner Butcher, Patrick Square, Clemson.
Ships at sea. How are you today, Ramona?
I'm good.
Good. We are live at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest. There's never any dealer fees or service fees. In fact, I have an incredible deal. You know, each Friday they give me, each Friday we're here, they give me an incredible deal on some special vehicle of the day. It means, you know, you can't get this vehicle, you know, 3 weeks from now. You have to act now if you're interested. It's an EcoSport 2019 EcoSport SE front wheel drive, five passenger. The exterior is white platinum. It is a zero cash down, MSRP 24740. You can buy a new vehicle at George Coleman Ford. You buy this new vehicle today at $17,999. This is a purchase, not a lease. Qualified buyers, 3.5% APR, 287 a month, 72 months financing. Are you kidding me? This is George Coleman Ford. Get out and see him. All right, let's start with this. You know, I want to start with the Myles Garrett incident last night, and I'm not going to spend the whole show on this. What Myles Garrett did was reprehensible, awful, no question about it. But let's not act like Mason Rudolph was just a wronged party and that he wasn't a big part of what happened, because he was. He'd been injured previously. He didn't like it, didn't like the fact that Myles Garrett, you know, Myles Garrett did something incredibly bad. He actually tackled Rudolph. And apparently tackling somebody now is enough to force them to want to rip your helmet off and to kick you, because that's what Rudolph did. So let's not get it twisted. I mean, the guy who actually started it was Rudolph. He did. He tried to rip Garrett's helmet off unsuccessfully, and he kicked at him. I mean, those things happened. We're not making that up. Those things happened. And then When they got to their feet, Garrett wound up ripping off Rudolph's helmet, and then Rudolph charged him for some reason known only to Rudolph. Probably not a good idea since you no longer have your helmet and that guy's bigger and stronger than you. And yeah, at that point, Garrett swung the helmet, and the good news for Rudolph is he hit him with the open end of the helmet, and so I don't think there was really significant damage done, and that's good for everybody. And again, I'm not debating the merit of suspending Myles Garrett for the rest of the year in the playoffs. I'm fine with that. You can't have somebody swinging a helmet like a weapon, regardless of what came before it. But let's not act like Rudolph was some saint in this issue, because he was far from it. And apparently there's no penalty for Rudolph. I mean, I really thought that there'd be a bunch of guys who received penalties for this, and especially Rudolph. I mean, I'm sort of stunned that apparently Rudolph's going to be able to walk away with this penalty free, or from this penalty free. When again, he clearly instigated it at the start. I'm sorry, a tackle does not count as instigation. I know some of you people would like it to, but it doesn't. This is still, at least for the moment, football. At least for the moment, this is still football. And tackling, at least for the moment, still allowed. still allowed. And I'm sorry, but that's what Myles Garrett did. And if you didn't like the way he tackled, you know, too bad. Cry me a river. But then Rudolph tried to take his helmet off unsuccessfully, tried to rip his helmet off, and then he kicked at him. And so as they got back up, Garrett ripped Rudolph's helmet off. The point being, it was a back and forth kind of deal. It was not like one-sided like everyone's trying to portray it. It just wasn't. It wasn't. You know, this is what we do. We live in a world where they always get the second penalty. You know, in everything. The officials always see the second one. We always get the second penalty. But, like, frequently, there's something else that starts it. You know, frequently there's some other element that we're not privy to and or we ignore. And in this case, I think we ignored the start of it. I mean, I don't know what the genesis of it was. I also don't know if something else was said. And I don't mean in one particular direction or another, but I wonder, I'm sure there were words being exchanged and what exactly they were. I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever know. I don't know that we'll ever know. And just to be clear, in no way, shape, or form am I suggesting that Myles Garrett should not have received the punishment he received. He should have. You know, the other thing is this. We act like, you know, all this stuff has never been done. I saw all sorts of ex-NFL guys last night saying, oh, this has never happened in NFL history before. Look, if you don't know all of NFL history, then you really don't know that answer, do you? And the answer is it of course, has happened before. You're just not privy to it. You're not aware of it. I mean, we've seen all sorts of violent actions in sports before. But a long time ago, Lyle Alzado ripped the helmet off a Jets lineman named Chris Ward and then threw the helmet as hard as he could right at his head from point-blank range and just missed. Had that helmet connected with Ward, Ward would have been dead. Alzado was an insanely powerful guy, way more powerful than Myles Garrett, for example. Maybe in some ways the most powerful guy who ever played the sport. Now, he was juiced, you know, and had road rage and subsequently died of brain cancer and all that. But Alzado did the same thing. And we've seen other guys do similar things throughout football history, throughout other sports. In baseball, you know, I saw somebody write, well, no one's ever attacked anyone with a bat. Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong, too. Juan Marichal and John Roseboro, go look it up. Clobbered him over the head with a bat. Clobbered him over the head with a bat.
With a baseball bat?
That's right. Ugh. That's right. Right at home plate. Clobbered him right over the head with a baseball bat intentionally. Go look up the Marisol Roseboro incident if you don't believe me. Juan Marisol, one of the great pitchers of all time, but violent temper and used the bat as a weapon. Bert Campaneris, when he was hit by a pitch, actually, I don't know if he's hit or if it was just inside, but Bert Campaneris threw the bat at a pitcher full speed. Like you throw a frisbee or something, but he threw the bat from home plate right at the pitcher's head. Campaneris figured, well, if he can hit me with the ball, I can hit him with the bat. Threw it right at his head. And a pitcher not ducked, that bat would have hit him right in the face. Right in the face. Hockey, we've seen numerous incidents. We've seen the law get involved in hockey. We had the Marty McSorley stick to the head of Donald Brashear. I believe he went to jail. And we had the Bertuzzi incident with Moore. So there have been a number of these incidents throughout the history of sport. This is not new. We have seen all this stuff before. Either people forget it, they don't know it, they don't know the history. But I do know the history, and we've seen all this stuff before. In fact, in some ways, this pales in comparison to some of these others. Again, doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean that Myles Garrett shouldn't suffer a severe penalty, and apparently he has. All those things are legitimate. He should suffer a severe penalty. But I just found it odd that nobody was talking about the fact that in a real sense, Rudolph was the guy who started it. He did. He, in a real sense, he started it. Not only did he start it, but he perpetuated it. It wasn't enough that he tried to rip Garrett's helmet off. Again, he didn't like the tackle. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't like the tackle. This is football, and, you know, and again, that's what you still do. To this point, you still, when you want to bring a guy, when you want to end a play, you still do this thing called tackling. And again, he took offense to that. But what succeeded that was he tried to rip Garrett's helmet off, and he kicked at him. And so Garrett responded by ripping his helmet off. And let's not act like Garrett intentionally ripped his helmet off with the with a mind's eye on clobbering Rudolph over the head with that. That's not true. That's totally false. That is not what happened. I mean, anyone saying that didn't watch it. That's not what happened. Garrett ripped the helmet off and was just holding it. And then Rudolph charged him. And that's when Garrett swung the helmet. It wasn't like he ripped the helmet off and then swung the helmet at him instantly. That we've seen as well. There was a middle part of that. There was a middle part of that. Tom Pelissero says the NFL will fine Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph for his role in last night's brawl, I'm told. That's not enough. You can't suspend the one guy for the whole year and just fine Rudolph, in my mind. You can't. You can't just fine the guy who started the problem. You know, again, I have no idea what Rudolph was doing in the whole situation. That's what I started writing this morning. When you look at it and you actually watch it and you don't accept what all the sheep are saying, there are all sorts of questions about what Rudolph's role in it was and what exactly he thought he was doing. Again, I want to just repeat one more time. There is no question about Garrett's role, right? That's a given. Garrett's suspension was needed, was warranted, and I'm glad the NFL acted on that. It's the rest of it that I have the problem with. I don't think you got the guy who started it. I think clearly Rudolph started it. It didn't end well for him, but he's the guy who started it. And he perpetuated it. You know, after Garrett ripped the helmet off, there was separation. The incident was over at that point. Until the quarterback with no helmet decided to charge the defensive end. wearing a helmet. It's just not smart. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks charging defensive ends. You know, so I don't know what his deal was to begin with, and I don't know why he would have thought it was a good idea to charge Myles Garrett. So my point is simply this. I think there's a lot of blame to go around. The one guy I don't blame is Pouncey, and I haven't seen what Pouncey's penalty will be. I'm guessing, you know, rabbit punches is probably going to lead to some sort of penalty. But I'm okay with Pouncey's role. I am. And look, I know about Pouncey's connection to Aaron Hernandez, and I know all that. But here's the thing. I am absolutely okay with an offensive lineman coming to the defense of his guy, of his quarterback. Absolutely. I applaud Pouncey's, what do you throw, 3-4 right short right crosses? I applaud Pouncey's role. I think that's exactly what Pouncey should have been doing. I think in defense of his quarterback, that's what he should have been doing. So I don't have a problem with any of the Steelers' O linemen and their role in it. I think the problem was the two combatants, if you will. And I think that Garrett certainly received a fair suspension for his role, but I think essentially Mason Rudolph, the quarterback, is going to walk when he's the guy who really, I thought, instigated the whole thing, started the whole thing. It all began with him. It all began with him. And so I'm not sure that the ultimate finding was just. And I think initially the reaction to Myles Garrett and his swinging of the helmet was like a landslide, in that Garrett was Captain Evil and somehow, you know, Mason Rudolph was some sort of saint. Nothing could be further from the truth to anybody who actually took the time to watch all that video over and over again, as I think most people did. All right, we're live at George Coleman Ford. We have a lot of things to get to. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Winter can be such a wonderful time of year with family and friends, but it can also mean the inevitable ice storms that we see here in the upstate. Don't let heavy ice covered power lines leave you in the dark for the holiday season. Be prepared with a Generac automatic home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment and tell them Mickey sent you.
Welcome to Moe's!
We're with Moe's, and it's time.
It's time.
It's time to talk seriously.
About moist towelettes.
And buffalo sauce.
Those little wet napkins that you have to use when you eat wings?
Sure, they're helpful.
But they're also harmful.
To your fingers. Sometimes they sting.
But don't worry, because at Moe's,
you can eat the new buffalo chicken burrito
without having to use a napkin. Clean hands.
Clean clothes.
Clean conscience.
Grab the new buffalo chicken burrito at Moe's. No napkins needed.
There's no better time of year than now to discover the beauty of Reed's for diamonds. Your family-owned jeweler, Reed's introduces the Lightbox line of extraordinary lab-grown diamonds. You'll find custom-designed Lightbox necklaces, rings, pendants, and earrings in both pink and blue. Discover the beauty and elegance of Lightbox diamonds when you discover Reed's Jewelers. Reed's Jewelers, in the middle of Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Reed's Jewelers, online at Reed's.com.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
If your business IT provider can't fix your phones or doesn't work weekends, that's, well, TSA Choice will manage it all 24/7. TSA Choice. All your technology, all the time. TSAChoice.com.
You're at the top of your fashion game when you shop the Perry Ellis Fashion Outlet in Seneca. You'll stand out from the crowd in performance fabrics, looks for any occasion, with everyday prices up to 70% off retail. Men's and women's brands all under one roof, like Perry Ellis, Original Penguin, Callaway, Raffaella, Laudrie by Shelley Segal, and Grand Slam. Stop by and see for yourself at Perry Ellis Fashion Outlet Store in Seneca, 101 Mountain View Drive in Seneca, in the former Janssen plant. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Want to impress your tailgating pals at the game?
Feed them from the Corner Butcher in Patrick Square. Steaks, brats, chicken, and select seafood. They have what you need. 654-2333. The Corner Butcher, Patrick Square, Clemson.
It is officially football season. Fall is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to invest in a new comfy mattress. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca features both Beautyrest and Serta brands and has the largest stock and lowest prices around. Stop in, lay around, and the outlet's experienced staff will guide you in finding your new mattress today. Open 7 days a week, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located off Highway 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
Have you been looking for Christmas decor that lasts both live and artificial? Country Boys has been serving the upstate for over 30 years. Is a top 100 independent garden center in the United States and voted best in the upstate. Whether it's trees, wreaths, garland, ribbon, bows, or ornaments, Christmas decor at Country Boys has the quality and selection you are looking for. They even have a whole selection dedicated to the Clemson fan. Visit Country Boys, the one-stop shop on Woodruff Road and Wade Hampton Boulevard, and make this season merry and bright.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Pricey, but man, what a game changer.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Little Outlaws, Southern Rock Friday, Guitar Army, from live from George Coleman Ford. Greg Coleman's going to join me in a little bit, but let's get to Alex and Joe here. I also want to talk about the other game last night, the Pittsburgh-North Carolina game, and what actually happened in that game and how these officials will just not leave football alone. They just insist on ruining game after game after game after game with their inane targeting calls. And quite honestly, last night, Pittsburgh should have won that game by 30 points. They should have won that game by 30 points. It's the officials that made that a football game, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Also, we're live at George Coleman. Come see us. We have free Papa John's pizza, brownies. Let's forget the brownies, which are very good if you don't spill them on the floor, Ramona, as I did.
You spilled brownies on the floor?
Yeah, what actually happened is it was a chain reaction. The brownies had just got here, and so they're hot. So you have to, like, dig them out. They're not separating willingly, right?
Okay.
So it was more like pieces of brownies that I had on a plate. And and I brought them over, and I set them right here. Uh-huh. And I was going to enjoy them momentarily, and then I had to get up for a second. And as I did, apparently the chain reaction was my foot caught on the microphone wire, which knocked the microphone off of the table. And as the microphone fell off the table, it, of course, had to hit the corner of the brownie plate, sending the brownies flying.
Tough luck there.
Yes. Yeah. So, I'm not having any brownies. I give up on it. in part because when I had to pick them up off the floor, since they were in, little pieces and stuff, they're sticking all to my hands next. And I've tried with napkins. I don't even seem to be able to get it off. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you getting in, Alex.
Old party foul. You can't be knocking brownies off the table, man.
Right. And I'm sure they would have been really delicious, had I actually been able to eat them.
You don't have a 5-second rule up there, I guess?
No. No 5-second rule. No.
No.
No. No. Especially, Alex, with smush brownies. Had it been a whole brownie, then maybe a 5-second rule.
I was going to just weigh in on the penalty last night. I was watching it. I'm a Panther fan, so I was neutral completely through that whole game. But I watched it, and it's like Rudolph grabbed him, held on to him, tried to hit him. Got hit in the face, or after he tried to like run after him and attack him, then he throws his hands up and is like looking to the refs for like, "Oh, are y'all going to do anything about this?"
So right.
Everything was fine up until he got hit, and then he wanted something done. So that's what I don't understand, the whole, you know, just finding him and not letting him sit out at least a game or so.
Right. I think that's exactly right. You know, generally speaking, when there's a fight, you know, it's like a auto accident. You know, when you have an auto accident, insurance companies talk about percentage of blame. It's seldom like 100-0. It's usually like 60-40 or 70-30 or something. Well, I mean, it's hard for a fight to take place of any sort without some guilt on both parties. It's almost never one party's 100% guilty and the other's not at all.
Right, until your party takes their helmet off and slaps you in the face with it. But,
yeah.
You know, I didn't think I certainly agree with them making him, you know, suspending him for the year.
Yep.
Doing that, but as far as, you know, just a little fine that he can afford, that's not fair. But that's it, man. I'll listen to the rest of the show, but appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Alex. Yep, I think you're all over it. I think it's it exactly. I think Rudolph needs to be suspended too. I think it's blatantly obvious he needs to be suspended too. Joe, how are you?
Wow, doing good this afternoon. How about you, sir?
Good, Joe. Appreciate you getting in.
All right. I got a little bit of an alternative point of view on this here. Okay. So I'm a Browns fan myself, been a Browns fan my whole life, and I saw some reports on a Browns message board that mentioned something about Myles Garrett actually just trying to put his helmet back on Mason Rudolph's head out of concern for player safety. Now, I know it's ridiculous as that sounds. Have we considered the fact that Mason's been trying to look out for him and he cares about it?
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite response. Yeah, Joe, that's excellent. I should have thought of that before myself, Ramona. That's what it really was. It was Myles Garrett was just trying to help a brother out. He's just trying to help. Mason Rudolph. That explains, you know, Joe. It's all clear now that you offer this possible suggestion, because Myles Garrett did hand him the open side of the helmet. He did not hit him with the closed side. So you're 100% right.
Exactly.
Myles was simply trying to help Mason Rudolph put his helmet back on at high speed.
I appreciate his dedication to safety, and I think we need to encourage that in this game.
I 100% right, Joe. I wish I had thought of that before. Yeah, I should have seen that. You're 100% right. I need to go back and look at it all again from that perspective now.
That's right. No need to rush to conclusions. Have a good one.
Thank you, Joe. That's my favorite answer of all time, Ramona. Myles Garrett was helping Mason Rudolph to put his helmet back on.
Yeah, what a kind soul.
He is. And again, this is why it all comes together now. You know, now that this is why you need to take some time and evaluate all the evidence. Because, again, Garrett presented Rudolph with the helmet, with the open end of the helmet. You know, if he had meant to do any real harm, he certainly would have hit him with the top of the helmet. So I think we can surmise, as Joe did, that since Garrett was presenting him with the open side of the helmet, he was merely trying to help Mason Rudolph put his helmet back on.
I'm convinced.
Mark, how are you?
Hey, Walt, how you doing? Love your show.
Good, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
I got a question. I want to get your input on this targeting issue. And I understand why the rule is there and everything. But I played linebacker, so I'm kind of partial, and I don't think this rule's fair for the linebackers and the D-backs. How can a running back – I see all these – when there's a targeting call, the running back's running full speed, and the first thing he does is lower his head.
Exactly.
Before the linebacker or the D-back even starts to tackle, he lowers his head. And if you get hit in the sternum by a running back running full speed, it hurts. You have no choice but to lower your head and shoulders. Your head, when you lower your shoulders, your head goes with it. And I just think it's the running back can go as a battering ram all day long, and they're unprotected if they don't lower their head and shoulders. So I'm just curious what your take was on that.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to control what happens at the line of scrimmage. I think though the contact at the line of scrimmage is almost impossible to regulate. So what we really have is we have rules that are designed around the perimeter. They're space rules. They're not line of scrimmage rules, running back linebacker collision around the line of scrimmage rules. They're rules designed regarding space, and they always favor the offense, because many times you'll see a running back, for example, get out on the perimeter, get the edge, and wind up in the collision with a defensive player when the running back is clearly the one who is instigating the contact and is clearly putting his head down even at that point, and they're still not calling any of that on the offense. And the other part of this talking about – go ahead.
Has there ever been a target call on a running back?
You know, I suppose so. I just, off the top of my head, Mark, I can't answer it. But I think that when you look at the way this rule is being legislated, the way it's being called, like, again, last night in the Pittsburgh-North Carolina game, what's just being lost in all this discussion is these are moving objects. These are great athletes who are headed towards each other at significant speed. And when one of them changes course and or ducks, the point of collision or contact changes. And so we're repeatedly throwing guys. Last night we had a player who tries to intercept a pass, and he's thrown out of the game because in the act of going low to get in front of the receiver to intercept the pass, there's inadvertent contact in which the helmet scrape. I'm sorry, that is not targeting. That was never the intent. They have to rework all this. I get the safety issue, but there needs to be some level of intent with this rule. It can't just be accidental collisions, because we act like we can control every element of these collisions, and we cannot, because the point of contact is changing because the objects are in motion.
I agree 100%. I mean, you got 22 players running full speed all over the field, and there's head to head contact constantly. I agree 100%. It's got to be where you can tell that he intentionally tried to hurt that other player, and I think there's crown to crown contacts, and just like when they're going up for a pass. I mean, it's impossible to control. You know, every. You know, 2 inches, it's crown to crown, and then 4 inches the other way, it's not. I mean, how can you control that running full speed and the way these running backs juke and cut these days? So I agree 100%. I just think it's unfair for the linebackers and the D-backs. And
I agree.
The running back can run full speed and lower his crown and basically use it as a battering ram.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. Good job.
All right.
Yep. Look, that's my problem with it. My problem has been all along that – it just doesn't account for movement. I mean, I'm watching those collisions last night in the Pittsburgh-North Carolina game, and let's be honest, that's a testy game. It was a testy game. It was a testy game right from the beginning. Chippy. But having said that, those collisions were not worthy of targeting calls. They just weren't. They're primarily accidental contact. And I'm sorry, it's like Mark just suggested. It's essentially unavoidable. A lot of it is unavoidable. You know, you get a pass thrown low over the middle like you had last night, and you have a DB who's trying to make a play on the ball, who's trying to cut in front of the receiver and make a play on the ball. Look, this is not hard to understand. The pass is low, all right? The quarterback is trying to protect his receiver. He's throwing it low across the middle. The DB sees it, is in position to make a play on the ball. So he tries to jump him and make a play on the ball. Meanwhile, the receiver is also forced to go low because the pass is low. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen next? Seriously, what is your reasonable expectation for what is happening next? Well, those two players collide to some degree. It's more like a scrape than it is a collision. But it definitely wasn't a target. It was an action in which both players were going for the football. It was incidental contact. And yet, we want to call that targeting. That's not targeting. You know, I don't understand how this is difficult. Targeting. Does not the word itself imply a level of intent? If you are targeting somebody, then you're talking about an intentional action, right? You're targeting them. That's
that word implies right in its meaning, intent, then officiate it that way. Officiate it based on intent. You cannot have all these accidental collisions throwing players out of games. Listen, let me just explain. Since the announcers never did explain to you what happened in that game, since I don't think they had any clue, quite honestly, that crew is terrible. But what happened in that game is this. They threw Hamlin, Pittsburgh's best defensive back, out of the game. Pittsburgh ended that game number 5 in the nation in defensive pass efficiency, in large part because of those safeties, Hamlin and Ford, and because they have the best pass rush in America with Twyman and company. All right, so they throw Hamlin out of the game, who is Pittsburgh's best cover guy. He's their best cover guy. Guess what Pittsburgh can't do now? Cover. They don't have Clemson depth. They don't have that kind of depth. You lose a guy like that, and it changes who you are. All right, so North Carolina, knowing that, comes out in the second half. Pittsburgh is running quarters coverage, and what North Carolina does is they hone right in on the replacement for Hamlin, who is the field side safety who is playing over the slot receiver. The entire second half, Longo and company target that slot, and they were killing Pittsburgh off of that one slot. They were killing them. Again, announcers never said a word about any of this, but that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what, time and time and time again. You know, I thought Pittsburgh would adjust. I thought they would move Ford over and from his strong safety spot and put him over that slot receiver, and they never did. They never did. But I think that's the problem there is that Ford is their best tackler in the secondary, so they would have been, you know, they would have been hurt either way. But the overriding point in it was when you just throw a player out casually, you change an entire football game. That game wound up being close, not because North Carolina deserved to be close with Pittsburgh. They did not. That should have been a 25-30-point football game to anyone who watched it. But North Carolina was able to exploit Hamlin's absence last night in that second half time and time again. So you give Longo credit, the North Carolina offensive coordinator, for understanding that Hamlin had been ejected and going right after it. But, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever seen a game where a particular team so attacked an absence. Because, you know, generally you can cover up for it to some degree, but that didn't happen. In the second half, Pittsburgh running quarters coverage, you got the field side safety lined up over the slot receiver, and North Carolina attacked it the entire second half ruthlessly. And the only reason they're able to do that, and the only reason that they're able to make that a game and stay in contact, is because the officials, in their infinite wisdom, decided to throw Hamlin out of the game without warrant. You're ruining the football games. Do you not get it? You're changing outcomes. You're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds who are trying to play. This, in some cases, it's the end of their careers, and you're just casually ejecting them from games. This targeting rule at every level is a disaster. It is an unmitigated disaster. I'm seeing guys thrown out multiple times per game that just don't deserve to be thrown out. I go back to the implication inferred in the word, and that is a degree of intent. You cannot target somebody without a degree of intent. So officiate it based on intent. Where it becomes obvious that someone targeted someone, then make the call. But on these accidental collisions, you know, let me tell you this. Here's your litmus test. If it takes you 10 minutes in slow motion and a review to determine whether it was targeting or not, newsflash, Sherlock, it wasn't targeting. If you have to go to that lens to determine whether helmet scraped, then it's not targeting. You know, targeting, you shouldn't need reviews. You shouldn't need any of that. Targeting should be something, oh, there it is. I see it. I recognize it. This is the call. It shouldn't be an area that takes a 10-minute delay to determine whether it was or not. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, live from George Coleman Ford. Quick break.
Be sure and join Coach Amanda Butler and your Clemson women's basketball team all season long in Little John Coliseum. The next game is coming up soon, and tickets are available and can be purchased right now on ClemsonTigers.com. Tickets are only $6 for adults, $4 for youth and seniors. 12 and under receive free admission. So check out Clemson Women's Basketball for some great family fun, and we'll see you soon in Little John Coliseum.
Hey guys, are you noticing less energy, weight gain, or poor performance in the bedroom? Odds are you might have low T. Come into Low Country Mail today and get tested and get your life back. For just $200 a month, our medical team will have you feeling like a new man. Our concierge plans include testosterone, labs, medication, and doctor visits. We also treat ED with a huge selection of medication, advanced treatments like the P-Shot and shockwave therapy. Come see us in our new Greenville location or visit us online at lowcountrymail.com.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Be ready for Old Man Winter by shopping the Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Vent-free gas logs here for just pennies an hour, and because they use no electricity, they keep you warm and cozy even during a power failure. The Craft Stove Store and Patio has over 20 burning models of vented and vent-free gas logs for use with natural or propane gas. Shop and save now at the Craft Stove Store and Patio for everything your hearth desires. Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
In the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, act now. Edwards Auto Sales has all your year-end savings. Save over $5,750 on remaining 2019 Ford Edges. 2019 Ford Escapes reduced over $5,000. If a nice certified pre-owned Ford is what you're looking for, we have cars, trucks, and SUVs. All come with a 7-year, 100,000-mile engine and powertrain warranty and special interest rates. Edwards Auto Sales, home with no dealer fees at edwardsautosales.net.
Tiger fans, take advantage of Alley to the Valley for the Wake Forest game, courtesy of the City of Seneca. Park free and tailgate in Norton Thompson Park in downtown Seneca, open 5 hours before the game. Take a free cat bus to and from the game with transportation starting 3 hours before kickoff. For details and more information, go to Facebook, Alley to the Valley at Seneca, South Carolina, or the Seneca website at seneca.sc.us. Alley to the Valley from the City of Seneca.
Did you know you can recycle used cooking oil? 1 gallon converted into biodiesel fuel reduces greenhouse gas emissions up to 87% when compared with petroleum diesel. Don't be a turkey. Recycle your used cooking oil at Greenville County's residential waste and recycling centers and Twin Chimneys landfill. Do your part to fuel our future. Recycle your used cooking oil. Call 243-9672 or go to greenvillecounty.org. And happy Thanksgiving from the Greenville County Solid Waste Division.
Did your little ghouls leave chocolate and pumpkin guts behind on your carpets and rugs? Get cleaned up for the holidays with Zero Res. Mention my name, Mickey Plyler, and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129 and a free hallway. Call now at 864-558-7300 or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
If you got something to say, give me a call.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Deptula Road Rage, live from George Coleman Ford. We encourage you to come on out, get some free Papa John's pizza, free brownies, free drinks. It's all free. Well, I mean, except the vehicles. Although Greg has such great deals, they're almost free. We'll let Greg tell you in a minute. Before we do that, let me tell you about the Simmons Mattress Outlet. Look, the mattress outlet in Seneca is unbelievable. Every day, they have insanely great prices. You know, I hear people talk all the time about, well, you need to try this place or that place, or you know, there's some sale here or there. Trust me when I tell you this. There is nowhere where you're going to get a mattress for anywhere near the price you're going to get at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca. Not even remotely close. It's just not so. All right? Beautyrest, Serta, 13,000 mattresses from which to choose. Memory foam mattresses in a box, which are so easy to transport. And they just reinflate, reconfigure, whatever you want to call it, as soon as you take them out of the box. That's what I did. It makes it so much easier. But the great part is, with 13,000 mattresses to choose from, you're going to get exactly the mattress that fits you. Exactly. And you're going to get it for 75% less than you're going to get at other places. So get to the Mattress Outlet in Seneca. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Do it today. All right. I'm joined by Greg Coleman at this time. How are you today, Greg?
I am doing great, Walt. How about you?
Good, good. Appreciate you having us out.
Thanks
as
for
always.
Being here. Sure.
You have some special deals.
I do. I'd like to get into these today because they really are fantastic. I mean, they always are really, really good ones, but especially today, I think. You mentioned this on your intro. We have a 2019 EcoSport, which is a really nice SUV vehicle. This is an SE that's going to give you a lot of equipment, including a power moonroof. And we have it reduced down to what I think is an incredible price of $17,999 plus tax and tag, no dealer fees. That's it. And we also have, for people that are, of course, are payment conscious, which I think most of us are, is, you know, how much is it going to cost me a month? A lot of times when you see really good payments, you see, you know, if you look at the fine print, if the dealer leaves it up there long enough to see it, it's with thousands and thousands of dollars out of pocket and whatever, and often it's a lease and that sort of thing.
Right.
In this case, zero down, and I mean absolutely zero, with qualifying credit, of course, at 3.5% APR, 72-month financing, you can finance this for $287 a month, which I think, you know, is a pretty doggone good deal to get in a really, really nice new vehicle, full warranty. It's got a lot of equipment on it, nice SUV. You don't have to put any money down up front at a great interest rate for $287 a month.
So, and a moonroof.
And a moonroof.
What's the difference between a moonroof and a sunroof?
One you open up at night and one you open up during the day. I don't know. It's the same thing,
okay.
Really.
All right. Just
and,
checking.
Yeah.
I didn't know if one opened a particular way, like one slid open and one.
I think it's just terminology.
Okay. All right. So it's a moonroof / sunroof.
Yes. There okay. You go. You
depending
can have it either way.
Day.
Use it in the day
right.
Or at night. And we have that, which I think is a fantastic deal. But just to mention a couple other things of interest, too, while we're talking, we have incentives that are fantastic on the Expedition, the big Expeditions. A new Expedition you can get with a tremendous rebate and 0% financing for 72 months, which almost is unheard of. They're mutually exclusive, typically.
Yeah.
So that's a great deal. Our new Ranger pickup, the smaller pickup or midsize pickup, that was just reintroduced this past year. We have some great incentives on those now, rebates that really, really make a difference and can get down. You can buy one now in the mid-20s, which is a great price on that vehicle with equipment. So those are neat things. And I do want to tell the people that are listening about something brand new that Ford has coming out. They're going to be introducing it Sunday. It hasn't been introduced yet. It hasn't been unveiled yet, but the name has come out. And it's called the Mach-E. It's going to be a fully electric vehicle. It'll be similar to what I think you see in a lot of the Tesla and that sort of thing, something that can get tremendous range on it, fully electric, that you can get between 200 and 300 miles on it before charging. And the charge is really quick, too. It's going to be on the Mustang platform, a really...
Really?
Yeah, but it's going to be kind of an SUV on a Mustang platform that'll be... I don't
now,
know.
See, now I can't. Now you lost me. An SUV on the Mustang platform?
Yes. Yeah. And I've kind of seen some hints of what it's going to look like.
Okay, so you don't even know.
No. But it's introduced Sunday. We'll all know Sunday.
Okay.
So keep your eyes open for that.
So they don't give even you, you don't, you know, even you, Mr.
That's
Ford,
right.
They don't give you a preview?
Yeah.
Really?
almost 90 wow. years in business, as you often say. Yeah. And no, they could care less
about
me.
They don't give Mr. Ford 90 years in business a preview. They're not giving anybody
I'm
a preview.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a
keep
really
that
neat
stuff
vehicle.
Under lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. So take a look for you enthusiasts, particularly those that are interested in something fully electric, is something brand new for Ford. So
how about the Bronco, Greg? When is
it's
the,
coming.
When, yeah, you've been telling me that
it's
for like seven
coming.
Years. Come on, where's the Bronco?
I think the Bronco will probably be introduced, from what I know, it'll be coming out in 2020.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So okay. keep your eyes open for that, too. But, of course, we have lots of pre-owned vehicles, often they're local trade-ins.
Yeah. Did you sell that F-350 that you were tooling around last week?
I'm still driving. I hadn't brought it back. It's for sale, but you have to search to find it right now. It's
yeah, why
so
don't you
nice.
Tell them about that vehicle, Greg?
Oh, it's so nice.
So
we won't talk about it
too
much.
Stop putting miles on it.
That's a great one. That's a King Ranch, and it's got everything on it, and it drives so great. Mm. If you can find it.
If you can find it. What color is it, Greg?
It's black. It's black
is
with a
it
tan.
Really?
As I recall, I think it's the tan bottom. It's a two-tone, and it's so nice. Got that nice leather
interior. So in other words, that's parked way down there at the offices.
I'm not telling you where it's parked.
That's too funny. All right, let's talk a few minutes about Wake Forest.
All right, let's do it.
I don't know if there's as much to talk about as there would have been had Surratt and Washington been a go. I think that's unfortunate, obviously, for the players, especially for Surratt, who was having such an incredible year. But I think, in a way, it's unfortunate because this was sort of shaping up as sort of the marquee game on the schedule. This was shaping up as the game that I think people would have got a little excited about because Wake had some juice. They were ranked. They're playing well. The offense was putting up 600 yards a game. There's no question this would have been the team that would have put up the most points on Clemson had Surratt and Washington. Now, they weren't going to win, but at least it there would have been an entertainment value of that. I'm not sure that you still have that. Now the one thing I will say is sometimes opposing teams will have letdowns when star players for the opposition are not playing. Mm-hmm. It's like a natural human reaction. Mm-hmm. And between that and senior day, Clemson's going to have to guard against, a little, I don't know.
Distraction,
mm-hmm. something. I think there's that element. But I would like to have seen a little bit of a shootout, see what this defense does against that type of offense. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get to see that now because I don't care how good Newman is, and he's good. I mean, I think round one good. Mm-hmm. But when you lose your top two receivers and your Wake Forest, I think that's a problem,
Yep, I agree. Chips fall where they may, and you have to take advantage of whatever you can, and I'm sure Clemson certainly will. Me, personally, I'm entertained. There's not been a game this year that I haven't been entertained seeing, so I'm fine with it. If we win by 50 points, I'm great. But I do think, at least in some ways, and I agree with what you're saying, even the Clemson players may be, if you want to call it distracted or whatever, it may be overly confident that they, because Wake Forest has lost two of their better players, that could be somewhat of an issue. But it would be fun to see, and good for Clemson in some ways, I think, to see a team that could challenge them. Because the reality is, other than the North Carolina game, which I think Clemson had a lot to do with the way that game went, Clemson hadn't been challenged, really, this year.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've seen a team that Clemson defensively, it's quite different than it was schematically from mm-hmm. a year ago. And may be really well suited to deal with some of these passing attacks that they might see down the road based on all these safety body types and the proclivity to use a three-man front and to be able to cover that way. Mm-hmm. But I think this would have provided Clemson a good test to find out where they really are mm-hmm. because I'm not sure there's been a test. Most of the teams that Clemson's faced this year cannot throw the football. Mm-hmm. Not like Wake can throw the football. Here you would have been facing an NFL quarterback with NFL receivers, and that's what Wake has been all year long. I mean, and you know, a team that was putting up 600 yards of offense a game, but that changes, obviously. You lose Washington's size and athletic ability at 6'5", and you lose Surratt at 6'3", and Surratt was the best catch point receiver in the country, and it's not even close. I mean, he's just a man amongst boys. You know, he's not a guy who beats you with speed or necessarily athleticism, but he wins at the catch point. He wants it more. He's more physical. You know, he high points the ball. This is what he's done all year. It's not that he's necessarily, you know, got 10 yards, 15 yards behind secondary. It's that he wins at the catch point. And it would have been nice to see how that would have looked against Clemson. I think it also would have given Clemson a little bit of a mirror at this point into where they really stand. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just not sure you're going to get that. You know, so from a Clemson standpoint, I think you sort of lose out on that test case scenario that you might have had from Wake. I mean, Wake has Hinton. Hinton was the former quarterback, and he's really done a nice job. He's a converted receiver now, and he's become a big part of their offense. But now he's going to be, you know, the main part of that receiving core, and of course Clemson knows that as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think probably most of us casual fans would look at it like, you know, with Wake Forest now, Clemson should win that game big. You never know, but they should. And then in the South Carolina game coming up, I do think it's going to be South Carolina will be quite motivated for that game, I think. Well, they always are. And, you know, they may make it somewhat difficult, and they may be playing for their coach's tenure. Who knows? But I do think that even if Clemson wins these two games and wins them handily, you still don't really know. I mean, I think most of us would say if we play Ohio State or we play LSU or we play Alabama or whomever it may be, Georgia, whatever, we really don't know how we're going to stack up because we just haven't been challenged. And so I agree. I hate it that in a way that we miss them, but part of me is still like, man, I'm great with winning by 50 points. I sure am a lot more comfortable that way.
Yeah, they were not going to win anyway, but I think what they would have done was, you know, I think they would have come in here and scored 27 points or something. And I think you would have found out some things, and you don't have that mirror right now. We'll take a quick break. We're live at George Coleman Ford. Greg, I'm going to get to you.
Broadcasting from the Priority One Security Studios, WAHT AM 1560 Cowpens, WCCP FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Hey, Tiger fans, we know you're on the lookout for the best Black Friday deals. Well, Engineered Sleep will be running their biggest sale of the year. Their high-quality, locally made mattresses will be heavily discounted and come with free delivery and setup of every order. The best Black Friday deal, the biggest sale of the year, free delivery. Go visit their showroom on Congaree Road in Greenville or check them out at engineeredsleep.com. Buy local and save big this Black Friday at Engineered Sleep.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
The new 2020 bat arrivals are here at First Team Sports. First Team Sports is the only place in the upstate you can try out your bat before you buy it. See your exit velocity, launch angle, and direction of hit with Rapsodo Hitting. You'll get the best bat suited for you. Check out the 2020 Louisville Meta, DeMarini CF, Easton ADV, Rawlings Velo, and more. All 2020 bats ranging from USA, USSSA, and BB Corps. Be the first to equip your team with First Team Sports. 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 260.